From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on August 20th, 2024, in a lobby in downtown Chicago outside of the Ventoux Brasserie restaurant, where Congressman Jim Clyburn is hosting a reception for the delegation. So welcome to my lobby office.
Thank you.
On this episode of The Lead, we bring you some of the big moments from the first night of the Democratic National Convention stage, including South Carolina's own Jamie Harrison, who leads the National Democratic Party, his mentor, Congressman Jim Clyburn, as well as a man Clyburn helped get into office, President Joe Biden. We also bring you some remarks from folks who addressed our delegation this morning at breakfast, including Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro,
Go Birds,
and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. We're going to hear from those folks, but I want to hear from you. That's right, our great listeners out there sticking with us throughout the DNC and who were with us during the RNC. I hope you were. Give us a shout, 803-563-7169. Tell us what's going on in your world. We love hearing from you guys. And just as a programming note, we will not have a wind-down section today. And that doesn't mean you can't call us. And we'll have some more pods for you this week, so stay tuned, folks. All right, welcome to the second day of the Democratic National Convention here in Chicago. Before we get you up to speed on what the South Carolina delegation is up to and what is on the agenda for today, let's recap some of the big moments from the first day after we left you on Monday.
All right.
The convention was formally opened by the Democratic National Committee Chairman, Jamie Harrison, South Carolina's own, that is, and Convention Chairwoman, Mignon Moore.
Folks, all of these moments led us to this transformational moment. When a black convention chair and a black DNC chair lead us in nominating a black and AAPI woman to be the next president of the United States.
Shortly thereafter, Harrison's two young sons, William and Charles, joined him on the stage to lead the convention in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was a cute moment there, and I wanted to bring you all things Palmetto State. Those boys are South Carolinians like their daddy, like I said, and it was just as cute as it sounded. Now, Harrison then gave his own remarks before the convention hall, where he recalled his journey through politics, a lot of which you may have remembered from his unsuccessful Senate bid against Senator Lindsey Graham in 2020, which at the time was the most expensive Senate campaign ever.
This election is about Americans who are watching right now wondering who's going to finally pave that dirt road or make it easier to feed their family or get medical bills under control. This election is about those who believe anybody can achieve their dreams if they work hard and trust in the endless possibilities of America. This election is about communities who need to see that hope and joy will always overcome fear and chaos. This election is about every little boy inspired by a party chair who looks like him, and every little girl who will finally see a president who looks like her. My friends, we are paving a path for them. We're working toward a brighter future for them, and we need each and every one of you to join us. In my beloved home state of South Carolina, our motto is, while I breathe, I hope. Folks, I believe in the power of hope, but it's going to take more than hope to win this election. So in the next 78 days, our motto can't be just, while I breathe, I hope. It must be, while I breathe, I vote. Because that is how we make hope real for all of America. America, let's vote for Democrats up and down the ticket. Let's save our democracy. And let's vote for our MVP, Kamala Harris, and our coach, Tim Walz.
Now, at the start of primetime, Vice President Kamala Harris made a surprise appearance on the stage and praised President Joe Biden, who was set to speak later. Her praise of Biden underscored the overarching theme of the day, Joe Biden's swan song.
And I want to kick us off by celebrating our incredible President Joe Biden, who will be speaking later tonight. Joe, thank you for your historic leadership, for your lifetime of service to our nation, and for all you will continue to do. We are forever grateful to you.
Later Monday evening, the 5th District Congressman Jim Clyburn took the stage, following former Secretary of State and 2016 Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. The 84-year-old Clyburn has represented part of the Midlands and Lowcountry since winning his first election in 1992, and he's expected to easily win his 17th term this November. Clyburn is South Carolina's most powerful Democrat. Remember, we have no statewide elected Democrats. All those positions are held by Republicans and have been since 2006. Because the state is solid Republican, folks. Like we said, we're not Georgia, we ain't North Carolina, we're South Carolina. Nevertheless, Clyburn is a kingmaker here, and that was solidified even more when he helped propel then-former Vice President and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden to the White House, thanks to his major endorsement shortly before the primary that year, helping revive a floundering Biden campaign. Clyburn has since been named a co-chair to Biden's inaugural committee. He's a national co-chair of his re-election campaign. He's been able to bring Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, as well as other major cabinet officials, to the state since 2021. And he's also secured major federal funding commitments to the state as well. And he's even received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I'm not saying it's all payback, but this is politics, folks. And loyalty is rewarded on both sides. See Governor Henry McMaster and former President Donald Trump. Yes, both sides. But Clyburn on Monday night got the convention hall on its feet.
Thanks to Joe and Kamala, we reduced the price of prescription drugs, repaired roads and bridges, and replaced lead pipes. Thanks to Joe and Kamala, we are honoring our heroes in uniform and expanded benefits to over 1 million veterans. Thanks to Joe and Kamala, Make It in America is no longer just a slogan, but a movement that is bringing millions of manufacturing jobs back to America. For President Biden's lifetime of achievement in service of his country, we owe him a great debt of gratitude.
That was Congressman Jim Clyburn there thanking President Biden and Vice President Harris over and over for the greatest hits of the administration's first term, which he has said in the past has really not been something that Democrats message well enough to the average person, the average voter. But Clyburn did call Biden's decision to not only pick Harris as his running mate, but his endorsement of her to succeed him as consequential decisions.
While Trump has been looking out for himself and his billionaire buddies, Kamala has been fighting to lower costs for all Americans. And while Trump falsely pleads ignorance of Project 2025, which in my opinion is Jim Crow 2.0, Kamala has been offering the American people enlightened proposals and visionary leadership.
I was on the floor, and the South Carolina delegation was fired up, to say it lightly, for Clyburn, chanting his name while he tried to start speaking, prompting him to finally say thank you, South Carolina, to hush them up. Now, I did sit down with Clyburn, and we'll bring you that interview on Wednesday's pod. But like we said, Monday night was for President Joe Biden. This, of course, was not how he thought things were going to go up until a month ago, when Biden opted not to run for a second term after weeks of pressure on him following a widely panned debate performance against former President Donald Trump. Since he handed over the reins to his vice president, the Democratic Party has been energized, to say the least. Now, you've heard that. We've also seen new opinion polls showing Harris beating Trump in several key swing states, and the money is still rolling in. Now, the 81-year-old Biden is solidifying his legacy and has a bit of swagger now that he's a free agent. A bit of his Irish nature came out during his remarks Monday night, which were later in the evening than planned due to poor scheduling by the planners, who blamed a lot of applause.
He publicly says to the whole world,
I'm going to say something outrageous. I know more foreign leaders by their first names and know them well than anybody alive. Just because I'm so damn old. But I'm not joking. Think of the message he sends around the world when he talks about America being a failing nation. He says we're losing. He's the loser. He's dead wrong. Many of you are very successful people who travel the world. Name me a country in the world that doesn't think we're the leading nation in the world. Without America, not a joke, think about it. I'm being literal. Who could lead the world other than the United States of America? Well, guess what? America's winning, and the world's better off for it. America's more prosperous, and Americans are safer today than under Donald Trump. Trump continues to lie about crime in America, like everything else. Guess what? On his watch, the murder rate went up 30%, the biggest increase in history. Meanwhile, we made the largest investment, Kamala and I, in public safety ever. Now, the murder rate is falling faster than any time in history. Violent crime has dropped to the lowest level of more than 50 years. And crime will keep coming down when we put a prosecutor in the Oval Office instead of a convicted felon.
The convention hall gave standing ovations and chants of thanks to Biden, which you just heard there. And this comes after he reached the pinnacle of his career and power, just acceded to his vice president in an unprecedented move. But again, this was a huge legacy moment for Biden. And if Harris defeats Trump by having the base energized by this move, then Biden's legacy will be next level, folks. Here is the president again talking about those accomplishments in his administration compared to Trump's.
How can we have the strongest economy in the world without the best infrastructure in the world? Donald Trump promised Infrastructure Week every week for 4 years, and he never built a damn thing. But now, because of what Kamala and I have done, remember we were told we couldn't get it done. Remember when we came into office, we couldn't get anything passed. But right now, we're giving America an infrastructure decade, not week. We're modernizing our roads, our bridges, our ports, our airports, our trains, our buses. Removing every lead pipe from schools and homes so every child can drink clean water. Providing affordable high-speed internet for every American, no matter where they live, not unlike what Roosevelt did with electricity. And so much more. We are uniting the country. We're growing our economy. We're improving our quality of life. And we're building a better America.
Here's Biden in closing of what is likely to be one of his last major speeches as he handed off the reins to Harris.
Each of us has a part in the American story. For me and my family, there's a song that means a lot to us, that captures the best of who we are as a nation. The song is called American Anthem. There's one verse that stands out, and I can't sing worth a damn, so I'm not going to try. I'll just quote it. The work and prayers of centuries have brought us to this day. What shall our legacy be? What will our children say? Let me know in my heart when my days are through. America, America, I gave my best to you. I made a lot of mistakes in my career, but I gave my best to you. For 50 years, like many of you, I've given my heart and soul to our nation. And I've been blessed a million times in return for the support of the American people. I've either been too young to be in the Senate because I wasn't 30 yet, and too old to stay as president.
But I hope you know how grateful I am to all of you.
A strong, humbling conclusion there by President Biden, who was then joined by his family on stage, as well as Harris. Now, for time's sake, we're not recapping everyone who spoke. We're not trying to be too national here, folks. We've probably already gone too far. But let's go to this morning, because the big moments continued here for the South Carolina delegation in downtown Chicago, where major party figures spoke before the delegation at breakfast. It's like a rotating door of the party hopeful to get before South Carolina Democrats. Remember, we are an early voting state, not just for Democrats, but also Republicans. So we're always being schmoozed here by some of the national folks. In fact, we were joined by two former 2020 Democratic presidential hopefuls, including Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who is not speaking in his formal role as secretary. It's just Pete, just Pete.
So I know as Democrats, we're especially Democrats in redder states, we are accustomed to sometimes feeling as though we are on the short side of American public opinion. But the truth is people are with us on what to do next. And then there's results. And I think this is especially important because my fellow Democrats have come out of often red states, know that experience of trying to reach to people who maybe aren't with us on policy after policy, but we're trying to ask them to consider voting for us anyway. And that's why we got to talk about results. You don't have to be a Democrat to want to make sure that things are better in the future than in the past. And yet some of the things that conservative commentators want to talk about the most were worse under the Trump administration and are better under the Biden-Harris administration. Take crime, their favorite subject. It's all they want to talk about on Fox News. It is all they see when they come to a city. But if we're serious about confronting crime, let us begin by asking, why is it that violent crime went up under Donald Trump and down under the leadership of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris?
New Jersey Senator Cory Booker also spoke about his time campaigning in South Carolina during the 2020 primary. But unlike Buttigieg, he worked the room, standing on a chair and preaching to folks who had their camera phones out and were clapping along. So that's why the audio is not quite on mic here.
And so I just want to say really quick, this is the state that launched Joe Biden to the presidency. This is the state of Brother Clyburn, who is truly the dean of the Congressional Black Caucus. This is the state that has heroes and champions that fought for our nation, that stood for our nation, that worked for our nation, and died for our nation. And I am telling you right now, as much as we talk about the top of the ticket, this democracy was built from the grassroots up. Because in America, the power of the people is greater than the people in power. And so, listen, I got my brother from a swing state, Josh Shapiro, right behind me. I'm a little Jersey jealous. It's the swingiest state there are. Whole bunch of swingers in Pennsylvania.
Swingers, shock. What was he talking about there at the end? Well, nevertheless, here is Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, who spoke of his accomplishments and mentioned how his family has frequently vacationed in South Carolina. Wink, wink. Shapiro and other speakers know the importance of early voting in the state, and this is one of his first introductions to these voters that one day may be debating voting for him in a future primary.
South Carolina Democrats, the reason I wanted to be here today, first off, Chris invited me and I thought that was pretty cool, but second off, I know you understand the burden of responsibility to protect our democracy.
Right.
South Carolina is a place that picks presidents. South Carolina is a place that takes its responsibility seriously when it comes to governing this nation. South Carolina is a place where you've got giants like my friend Jim Clyburn, who understands the unique responsibility that comes to living in your state. And I understand that as you pick presidents, there are times in general elections where in some communities, in some constituencies in South Carolina, you feel like the winds are a little stronger in your face. And what I would say to you is when that wind feels stronger, that's a reason why we got to put our shoulder to the wheel even harder and push back even further. Because even in those communities where at times it might feel like it's an uphill battle, that is when we have to dig deeper and push harder and go forward in a way of common purpose. South Carolina Democrats, you have an extraordinary responsibility. to deliver this presidency to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, as you did to Joe Biden 4 years ago when Jim Clyburn and a legion of South Carolina Democrats stood up and did the right thing and organized and mobilized and brought us together quite literally as a nation. You are the ones who have the power to do this work.
That praise for South Carolina Democrats' role in the 2020 election continued with Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who gave her very short remarks but brought the energy and even told folks to eat a vegetable. But take a listen to her as she talks about the swing state of Michigan and how they moved the needle for Democrats with her election and how she hopes to do the same this November.
Number one, thank you. Thank you for being the linchpin that sent Joe Biden to the White House in the first place, right? Thank you for your leadership and your wisdom in continuing to send a phenomenal congressman and Jim Clyburn back every single year. He's been an incredible partner, and I just think the world of him. And I am here right now to recognize that we are feeling good. Am I right? I mean, it was a late night and an early morning, and you all look pretty damn spry. I'm proud of you. Now, I'm not here to preach, but I am a teacher. And here's what I know. In a state like Michigan, that was totally red Michigan for many years, most of the years of my life, I can tell you in 2022, we won everything from the governor's residence to the secretary of state to the attorney general to the state Supreme Court to the House and the Senate for the first time in 40 years. All right? And we did it because we showed up.
And we're really running up on time, so I'll save some remarks from Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock and my exclusive sit-down with Congressman Jim Clyburn for Wednesday's pod, so stay tuned.
Why?
That's a tease. Just because I'm in the Central Time Zone doesn't mean I can't keep teasing you guys. Come on. I'm an hour behind, but I'm still with it, I think. Speaking of teases, what's on tap tonight? If you're going to be watching the DNC tonight, what else would you be doing? The Obamas are speaking tonight. And no, former First Lady Michelle Obama is not accepting the party's nomination when the states do the roll call tonight, despite months, maybe years, of grand right-wing conspiracy theories promising otherwise. Sorry, I'm sure there's a reason why she's not the nominee, and it's not logical, but none of these conspiracy theorists will admit they're wrong because they sounded the alarm and prevented her from becoming the nominee. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, folks. The brain rot is real. However, we're here to give you the real truth, the news, accurate and fair. So best way to do that tonight is to watch the PBS NewsHour. And that's on SCE TV. All the coverage from the DNC on the TV as well as online on their YouTube page. We're talking about free, no commercials, all the coverage you want without the spin. Well, if you want more of that, we'll be back here tomorrow, Wednesday, with a little bit of the highlights from the DNC. So again, thanks for all y'all for listening. Show us your appreciation. I'm a little tired. You're hearing in my voice, but you gotta keep us going by giving us a call, 803-563-7169. It's like when we have to clap to keep Tinkerbell alive. We've talked about this before, folks. We need your calls. And you can stay up to date with the latest news out of the DNC on southcarolinapublicradio.org. We got a live blog that Mayon Schechter is running, and our producer, Amy Crouch, is keeping us all online. And so is A.T. Shire back home, keeping those fires warm for us. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer, like I said, is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I had a hot beef yesterday. It was very good. I had the Giardina.
I had a hot beef the other day, but I feel good still.
Well, I'm here to tell the tale, my friend.